Today, we're going to tackle the controversial subject of website pop-ups and why, when it comes to implementing them on your website, you should just say no. We're also going to talk about a writing tool that can dramatically increase your writing productivity. We're going to talk about all this and more on The Notable Show.
It's the program that makes creating and growing an online business fast, simple, and even fun. You're listening to The Notable Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Thomas McGee and this is The Notable Show, the show that's here to help you create an online business that's truly notable. Okay, so today we're going to talk all about website pop-ups. Now, most of us don't really like them. You know, you're reading an article on a news website or you're going through a blog on business or something like that, and you're about halfway down the page, and all of a sudden this pop-up just kind of interrupts you as you're reading and says, hey, sign up for my email list, or get my free course, or my free coaching program, or my amazing PDF. And again, from a user perspective, most of us don't like them, but for some strange reason, a lot of website owners keep using them. And I'm going to tell you today why, if you're tempted to use one on your website, you should just say no. But before we get to that, we need to talk about today's notable tool.
Useful for any stage of online business, it's time for your weekly notable tool.
Okay, so today's notable tool is an app that I literally use every single day. And it has become a really integral part of my entire daily workflow. And it's an app called Bear. So if you'd like to check it out, you can go to notableshow.com/7. That's today's show notes where I've got a link to it. But Bear is like an amazing tool. I've been wondering, like, before I started using it, I was like, when is somebody finally going to come out with a tool like this? So Bear is a writing app, but it uses something called Markdown. Now, if you're not familiar with Markdown is just a really simple, like inline, almost kind of like a coding language, but not. It's extremely easy to use. You just use, hash marks, a couple of hash marks in front of your text to make a heading, and you can, a couple of the, I can't remember what the marks are called, but a couple of the carrot marks, but the star marks, I can't remember the exact marks that they're called, but just really simple inline symbols that you use to italicize text, the bold text, so you can do it all right as you're writing. So Markdown in and of itself is great, and there's a ton of Markdown apps out there. But what a lot of them fail to do is help you to organize all of your writing. So for the longest time, I've been using Evernote. I've been using Evernote because it's nice because you can create all your own tags, you can create notebooks. The only problem with Evernote is it's a rich text editor. So, kind of like Microsoft Word or Apple Pages, you can italicize and bold things, but again, you're editing with rich text, which kind of works, but Markdown's a little bit more efficient to write with. The other thing I really like about writing with Markdown, and I'll probably end up doing an entire episode just on Markdown and some of the things you can do with it, but one of the things I like about Markdown is that you can write everything in this Markdown language and then you can copy and paste in HTML, or rich text. So you can take what you've written and you can really easily edit it and then copy and paste it into, say, WordPress for one of your blog posts, and it makes it really efficient to work with. But the thing that's unique about Bear, and what I really like about it, is that it has a tagging system built into it. So it's all self-contained, and you can create tags for all the different writings that you do. So for example, every single email I write in Bear. And I write it out, and then I tag it as an email, and if it's an email I'm writing for Notable Themes, I'll tag it with Notable Themes. So later on, it's a lot easier for me to find an email I wrote in Bear than it is in my email client. Same thing, I've got, if I'm going to write a Slack message or something like that, and it's a longer message and I'm including a lot of links and stuff like that, I have a tag called Messages. In fact, right now, right this very moment, I'm holding in my hand an iPad, and the iPad has my show notes for this episode. And what are those show notes written in? They're written in Bear. So I've got like another tag for templates. So I create a lot of templates for emails that I'm writing or blog posts that I've written or show notes or different online courses or themes I'm creating. I do everything in Bear. So what I'd recommend, check it out. They have a free version, so you can get it. I think it's just iOS and then Mac. So sorry, Windows users. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's just iOS and Mac. So if you have an iOS device and or you use a Mac, I would highly recommend trying it out. You can also incorporate a number of different checklists, which I found highly useful. I use Todoist for all of my main task management needs, but you can do inline checklists right within your Bear writing. So check it out. It's called Bear App. And again, I've got a link to it in today's show notes at notableshow.com/7. Again, that's notableshow.com/7.
Never miss a thing. Go to notableshow.com to get email updates of the latest episodes, free resources, and more.
Okay, so on to today's main topic, which is all about website pop-ups. So first of all, it's important for me to define what I mean by website pop-ups, because that term can be fairly generic. It needs some defining in terms of what I mean when I say website pop-up. So I'm not talking about something that pops up after a user is about to leave a website, or something that, you know, it's called exit intent or exit offer. I actually developed a plugin specifically for targeting users who are just getting ready, who are leaving the site, or who are showing exit intent. So it's a plugin called Exit Offer over at Notable Themes. But again, it's designed to, you know, pop up when people are getting ready to leave, who are not in the middle of reading. What I'm talking about when I say a pop-up is I'm talking about something that literally takes over the screen in some way, pretty much hijacks the screen and interrupts what a user is doing. Again, if they click a link or they click a button or something that activates a modal or a pop-up, so-called, that's not what I'm referring to. So anything that the user activates, that is not what I'm classifying as a pop-up. I am specifically classifying something as a pop-up if it is completely unprovoked and it interrupts what the user is doing. So what you hear a lot of marketers say when it comes to incorporating something like this is, yeah, but it works. Sure, a lot of people find it annoying, they don't like it, they just want to read the article, or they just want to, you know, view the video, but it works. Here's some of the stats to go along with that. And to a degree, there is some truth to this theory to a degree. However, what it misses out on is kind of a longer term problem. What it is it's a short term win, right? Because you're going to get people on that email list, and you may even have stats that will bear that out and say, look, I've got this many website visitors, and this many of them are converting onto my email list as I go along. So what I typically like to recommend, rather than focusing so much upon what's the sheer number, you know, and sheer numbers in terms of what you're going to get from doing a particular marketing tactic, I like to focus more upon creating something that people actually want. So there's a lot of things out there that you could say, yeah, but it works. I mean, technically, I know I've used this example in the past and it's a tad extreme, but technically bank robbery works, right? It's something that if you get away with it, it works. It doesn't mean that you should do it. I'm not saying that, obviously, I've made this reference in the past and it's not on the same level, but the point is that we shouldn't necessarily employ something just because it works. One of the things to keep in mind when it comes to creating a user experience on your website is that it's a very long-term process, meaning that the whole goal and idea of creating a website that's usable is doing it so that people will want to come back. So there's a lot of news websites. I know news websites are notorious for this. Well, they'll make you deactivate your pop-up blocker. They'll make you deactivate, you know, your ad blocker. They'll make you, you know, autoplay videos will start playing in the middle of an article while you're trying to, it's a jungle just trying to get through a news article. Most business websites aren't quite on that level, and most people who are running an online business that isn't in the media aren't usually that bad, but there's still a number of people who like to incorporate this kind of but it works mentality rather than a user first mentality, which is what I like to keep in mind when I'm going through this. So in addition to, you know, interrupting people is, again, it's a really common practice because a lot of people tend to say that it works. And what I typically have come across is that it's not so much the marketing tactic that is the piece to the puzzle, right? Because you're trying to increase the number of subscribers through your pop-up, right? That's the whole point. We want to get people on to the email list. And, you know, I have mentioned this. I dedicated a whole episode to why it is so important to build your email list and why it is your website's number one goal to build an email list. So this episode is almost kind of like an asterisk to that. Yeah, however, we want to make sure we do that while keeping a really good user experience. So one of the issues with, you know, pop-ups that interrupt people is that it's forcing the user in a specific direction that they may or may not want to go. Now, it's one thing if you are developing a squeeze page, right? Because the whole purpose of a squeeze page is to give them two options. Either you can opt in or you can leave the page. So that's totally understandable because you're not interrupting their, you're not giving people an experience other than what they expected. If they visit your site to read a blog post, they expect to read a blog post, not to be interrupted with your free resource that you're giving away. Now, again, to go back to the exit offer example, if they're about to leave your website, that's different. But again, it's the whole point is to put ourselves in their shoes. So kind of along the same lines, I've noticed another thing that a lot of people do when they're crafting their pop-ups, even the exit offer style pop-ups, is that, again, there's this marketing tactic that a lot of people like to use where they're kind of trying to shame people into signing up for their email list. So here's a couple of examples. I'm not going to share who this is coming from, but I'm sure you've seen it before. So here's the headline: Facebook's changing its newsfeed, how marketers should respond. And there's two buttons, right? I'm sure you've seen this. And it says free video training. And that's what you're going to sign up for their email list, right? And then number two is, no, I'm not interested in Facebook, right? So if I don't sign up on your email list, I just don't care about Facebook. It's not that I'm not interested in your video series. It's that, no, I'm just not interested in Facebook. So there's another one that says, get your free copy of the social media marketing industry report. And it says, yes, I want to improve. So that's the green button. Yes, I want to improve. The other button is, I don't want the latest research. So again, it's this false choice. Either I want to improve and therefore I will join your email list, or no, I just don't want the latest research. I don't want to improve. And there's another one. I know I could go through these examples all day, but the headline is, in five minutes, you'll simplify your marketing plan. And it says, yes, I want access. And then the other option to close the window is, no thanks, I don't want the free online course. I'll let my competition watch instead. So again, I get the argument for doing this is always going to be, you know, it works. But what I like to recommend is kind of a contrarian approach to doing your email marketing or to doing your marketing in general. And that is, create something worth downloading, right? Rather than, you know, interrupting people's readers and then, you know, people reading your website and then say, yeah, but look, it works. You know what works even better? Creating something amazing. Here's a cool idea. Create an online course or create something that is so amazingly valuable that people are begging to give you their email address in exchange for that thing that you created. So I get the argument, the mentality, it works, but I know I'm a little bit on my soapbox here. But I like to, from a web development and from a marketing standpoint, I always like to create a user-first experience. So the reason I like to bring this topic up and why it's so important to keep in mind if you're building an online business is because I like to compare it to real life, right? So there seems to be things on the internet that we try to get away with that we could never get away with in real life, right? Because there's different, you know, not different rules, but there's different expectations when we're behaving in public in real life, right? So imagine for a second, you went to the grocery store and you're going down the aisle, you're going down the cereal aisle, and there's somebody who's, you know, who works at the grocery store who stands in your way and they got a free sample. And so you have to politely ask this person to leave or to move, to get out of your way in order for you to get to the Lucky Charms. You're after the Lucky Charms and they're standing in your way. What would you think about that? If they hired someone to stand in your way and block you from getting through the aisle so that they could offer you their free sample of granola or whatever it was, right? Would you be a little bit mildly irritated? You probably would, especially if it happened to you every single time you came to the grocery store. Now imagine if they're offering some type of, you know, vitamin gummies. And the person said, so do you want to become more healthy? Or do you want to become sick and, you know, prone to cancer and all these things? So pick which one before they got out of your way. Again, it's just not nice. It's not treating the person as you would want to be treated. So that's what I always like to do. When I'm creating something, some sort of marketing tactic, or when I'm creating something on my website, I like to put myself in the shoes of the user, but also from the point of view of what if this was real life? What if I was in a grocery store? What if I was in a shopping mall? Would this tactic still fly? And most of the time, the answer is no. So a lot of this comes down to shifting the attitude of actually incorporating things into the website. So again, it is extremely important. It is a website's number one duty and goal to build an email list and secondarily to help produce sales for you, but it's always from a user-centric position. So what I always like to say is help a user accomplish what they want to do rather than what you want them to do. And that really does make all the difference. See, the whole idea here is we're trying to win people over. We're trying to turn them into fans. So if we've written a really good article and they're liking it, they're getting a lot of value from it, let's let them read that article. And then at the end of it, we can tie in something to our email, to join our email list or to get some bonus content or something like that. But you're much more likely to keep someone as a subscriber and as a buyer if they like you. And one quick way to get people to stop liking you is to annoy them. So again, I know I'm kind of recapping here, but if there is one thing to take away from this episode and one main, major, gigantic point I'm trying to make, it's that when it comes to your website, when it comes to building your online business, provide value first. So always, you can make up for endlessly with providing more value in what you're giving away than you can in marketing tactics. Marketing tactics are great, but I always say build something amazing and you don't have to add in or sprinkle on extra marketing to get people to go for it. So when you're creating your opt-ins, when you're creating your online courses, when you're creating your, you know, PDF downloads or whatever it is that you're providing in exchange for an email address, just make it amazing. Just make it great. Go over the top. Say, I should have probably been charging for this, but you know, I'm going to give it away for free. I mean, it takes a little bit more legwork, but again, it takes a lot of work to set up and implement a number of these marketing tactics. So what I say is get the basics of the marketing tactics up and running and then focus, you know, 80, 90% of your energy trying to make something that is truly solving problems and delivering value to people who are visiting your website. So I'd recommend, you know, when you see somebody doing this, when you see somebody who is kind of doing an interrupting type tactic for getting someone onto their email list, stop and consider, how could I create something valuable, you know, rather than going through and doing what this person is doing and interrupting a user and trying to push them to signing up for an email list. So that was today's main topic and what I wanted to cover. I know that's a little bit of a soapbox episode, but I did want to cover it because again, I've worked on a number of different website projects and a number of different things, and it's just really easy, I think, especially for those of us who are creating and building an online business, to lose sight of the people who we are supposed to be serving. Remember, it's not necessarily just the people who buy from us who we want to serve. Even if it's one user who reads one article on our website one time that they found on Google, we still want them to come away with value. Even if they never buy from us, that's the goal. Put the user first, and I think in the long run, it's going to pay a lot more than trying to trick someone or shame someone onto an email list or, you know, using marketing tactics rather than creating something that is truly of value. So as always, I like to mention, if you would like to ask a question for the show, or if you disagree, if you'd like to, you know, if you've tried some different marketing tactics that you think work better, or you think pop-ups are the greatest, hey, feel free to record me a question or even just your comment. You can do that at notableshow.com/question, and I'm always happy to hear from you. And as always as well, if you'd like to leave a review for the show, I always appreciate it. You can go to notableshow.com/iTunes. Again, that's notableshow.com/iTunes. Leave me a review. We always appreciate it. So thanks so much for joining us today on The Notable Show. And until next week, go out there and build something truly notable.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the program. To review the show notes along with any links shared in this episode, visit notableshow.com. Also, please take a quick moment to subscribe and review The Notable Show on Apple Podcasts or the medium of your choosing. Thanks again for listening, and have a notable day.